It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
Inject or insert something so that we can, as we're learning about faith, there's some things that we have to go forward with, we have to have an understanding of, so that we can have strong faith. And so if you go back to Mark 11, I need you to do something. There is I'll tell you. So one of my props I left in the office, so he's going to get that for me. But I want us to go back to Mark 11 and 24 and 25. And I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And this is critical to our moving forward in faith. As a matter of fact, you got to get this in order to actually walk in strong faith. And if there's a hiccup in this area, thank you. If there's a hiccup in this area, then it will put a wrinkle in your ability to believe God. It's something that we all have to walk in as being a part of His kingdom or of His government. And if we don't, it will hinder us from being able to receive in this kingdom. So if we go back to Mark 11, 24, and again, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. All right, so last time we were here, we talked about believing from the heart. Well, our heart is a very sensitive organ spiritually, as well as it is, I'm sure, physically as well. I mean, you don't have a heart, you're probably not here today, right? If your heart stops beating, you cease to exist after a while. And so our heart is very important. It's a vital organ. And it's a vital organ spiritually, so when the Bible speaks of the heart, there's some things that we have to do to make sure that it doesn't, it works effectively. So if we eat a lot of, and just naturally, if we eat food, puts our hearts at some form of a disadvantage, meaning it clogs up the valves or whatever, then we have an issue. There was a young man, I guess it was last year, played for year before that, played for the Buffalo Bills. And y'all remember what happened to him when he took a sharp blow to his heart and he collapsed and they brought him back, resuscitated him, and then they had to do a good bit of work to get him back going again. And after getting him back going again, he came back to the Buffalo Bills. I don't think he played a lot, but at least he came back. There was a lot of work done to get him back on the field again. Because his heart had taken such a blow. And so sometimes our heart does the same thing, and there's some things our spiritual heart takes a blow. And it's primarily in one area, and it's the area that God, Jesus, always addresses. And sometimes it's an area where we feel like we have the right to continue going down in this vein, not realizing that it's doing a lot of giving us a lot of problems. It's causing us to not function the way God wants us to function. So if we look at Mark 11, we're talking about believing from the heart again, and our heart is where we believe. So in that case, if we live in a believing kingdom, then if our heart goes awry, then we're in big trouble. But there's one thing in particular, and I was blessed with this key. Someone gave this to me, and I haven't asked this person the right to disclose their name, so I won't. If they say I can, I will. But they were going through some things that a family member had given them, and they saw this right here, and they thought of me, and they gave this to me. And they said because of the spiritual, they felt the spiritual implications. that Jesus Christ is the key of life. And so when I got this key, I looked at it and I said, you know, it means that to me, but it means something else to me. And it means that, you know, a key, one thing about a key is it's most often it's consistent, isn't it? I mean, you go to a, and we trust in its consistency, don't we? So if I come to this church, I have a key for the church. I have a master key. Actually, I have a grand master key. That means I can get in any door in here. Grandmaster. So I have a grandmaster key, and it opens all the doors of this facility. And so I'm trusting in its consistency. I'm trusting that if I have that key, when I come to these doors, the doors, I can put that key in there, and it will open up for me. And I have a lot of faith in its consistency. Now, there's been times when, for whatever reason, the key just doesn't seem to want to turn, for whatever reason. I don't know why, but sometimes it gets a little hard-headed, and it don't want to turn. And you wiggle it a little bit, and finally it'll open up. But the point I'm trying to make is that I know with great certainty that it will work all the time. Well, what we're going to talk about today, I know with great certainty that it will work all the time. And so it makes no sense for me to go to the same door with my grandmaster key and use a different key and think it's going to work. And sometimes that's how we are with the principles of the kingdom, is we think that we can do certain things or hold on to certain things and get a different result. Like, I'm going to use a different key this time. Like, I'm going to hold on to something this time and use a different key instead of the key that always opens the door. And so today we're going to talk about the key that always opens up the door. The key that always opens up the door of our heart. You can like it or dislike it, but you can't disprove it. It's of a certainty. All right, so let's look at this. Remember this image right here, this key right here, and always think about it after we talk about this particular subject matter. So Mark 11, 23, 24, 25. So 23 says, truly, thank you. Where am I? For assuredly or truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, where is he going to believe at? He's going to believe in his heart that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, therein lies a particular power that we have, right? The power of the tongue, right? It says here that whatever we believe in our hearts and say out of our mouths, that we'll have. That is a power, right? That is something God has given us, the creative power of the tongue. That's a power right there. And what Jesus is talking about is these powers or these authorities or powers that we have because we're in the kingdom of God. He says, one is we can say unto the mountain, whatever the mountain is, mountain of a problem, the mountain of an issue, whatever it is, he says that out of our mouths we can speak to those mountains and tell them what to do. We, you, I, us. That's our power to do. All right, y'all with me? Thank you. It's our power. Second power he talks about here, verse 24, he says, therefore I say to you, me, us, therefore I say to you, me, us, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. All right? That's another power we have, right? We got a power to speak to the mountain. We have a power to ask God for something and believe that we receive them and we shall have them. That's a powerful power right there, is it not? So that's two. Power of the tongue, the power of prayer, and the last one is what we're going to talk about today, is the power of what? Open book test. All right, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you, us, that's our power. Not God, not Jesus. It's us. If we, whenever you stand praying, if you, we, us, put your name in there, George. Thank you. I heard one person, they got you about, nobody else is obedient. Everybody else's name is Hope too. I just heard one name, Hope. All right, let's try this again. Resoundingly, if George, there you go, have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we're talking about three powers here. One, what's the first one? Speaking. Second one, believe in your heart and pray, believe you receive. Third power you and I have is the power to what? Forgive. It's the power to forgive. No one can forgive someone else for you. It's the power you and I have. We have the power to release people or carry their sins with us. But only you and I have that power. But it will, as it's saying here, he says, when you stand praying, do something because it's going to affect your heart. When you stand praying, if you got someone that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind and you're not going to forgive them, it's going to affect your heart, my heart, your heart, from being able to believe that you receive. Because your heart won't lie to you. Your heart won't lie to you. Your conscience won't lie to you. And sometimes, again, a key here, we think that we can bypass that. I do one, but I speak to the mountain. I do two, believe I receive, but doggone that, I got some stuff, I ain't gonna forgive that person. Well, you're trying to get into a place with the wrong key. You're trying to get into receiving something with the wrong key. Now, some of you will say, and you would be right in thinking this, well, Pastor, hasn't everything been forgiven through Jesus Christ? And you are exactly right. That is the truth of the truth of the truth of the truth. If forgiveness was a condition whereby it got God to move, then we would still be under works. All right? But the Bible says we're no longer under works, we're under grace. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are all Old Testament scriptures. Why? Because Jesus has not died yet. And therefore, they're still Old Testament. Okay? Yeah, I know it's written, and I'm not preaching heresy here. But everybody knows that the will doesn't come into force until the person who willed it dies, right? Correct. So Jesus hadn't died yet. So we're reading, that's why we have to discern who the audience is. That's why rightly discerning the word of truth, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. What's the rightly dividing? It means where does the mail go to? The mailman, when he comes out, he's putting stuff in 100 box, box 100, box 101, box 102, box 103, box 104, because stuff that goes in 100 doesn't go in 101, and what goes in 101 doesn't go in 102, and what goes in 102 doesn't go in 103. Everybody with me? So we're rightly dividing here the word of truth. So for them, forgiving others was a condition of the old covenant. All right, class. It was a condition of the old covenant, but the principle is what we want to talk about in the new covenant. The principle is, yeah, we are forgiven. Yeah, it's no longer a condition to forgive anymore, but not forgiven will affect our hearts. Are y'all here? It will affect our hearts. I'm going to show it to you in scripture because some of y'all still ain't convinced. Some of you stuck in the Old Testament, you haven't come over to the New Testament yet, because you think everything is conditional. Matter of fact, you're in church this morning because it was a condition of getting your prayers answered. I'm messing with you. Some of y'all look so tight. Loosen up. Yeah. Okay, all right, y'all okay today? Okay, good. Gracious, Lordy. So, do we have an understanding about Old Testament, New Testament, that the condition, we are forgiven, and there is no condition for receiving now, but it will affect our hearts if we don't forgive. All right, let's look at some more scriptures here, because we're going to see it again in the New Testament, this, how Jesus keeps driving on this. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Matthew 5 and verse 21, look at this. It says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' or that word fool would be, you don't even matter. I don't even see you. You live here, but I don't see you at all." He says, whoever says to you, "You fool," shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift, listen to this, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge in the hand of the officer and be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will not. So we'll stop right there for the sake of time. But you see here, again, we're talking about the principles of the kingdom of God. And we're talking about being communal, living in community. And the most important piece of being in relationship that God showed us through his son Jesus is that in order to live with you guys and live with people, you got to live in a high level of forgiveness. We live in the community of the kingdom of God. And in order for us to coexist, as it were, the thread that runs through our kingdom, the thread, the principle that keeps us relational, is that we have to consistently, constant walk in forgiveness. And that's an absolute. That's not relative. You hear what I'm saying? That's not relative to what was done to you, how bad it was done to you, how bad the issue was. It's not relative. It's an absolute. If I'm going to stay in relationship so that my faith will work, when I stand praying, if the Spirit of God brings someone to my memory that I have ought against, I need to walk out forgiveness. Sometimes that means I need to address it to that person directly if they know that I've got an issue with them. Sometimes people don't even know it, so why bring it up to them? That make people a little, I mean, I just want to tell you, man, I ain't liked you forever, man. And he didn't even know that because I've been smiling at him for a long time. So I probably need to just, me and God deal with that. I don't need to confess that to him, right? Because I didn't really, there's no trespass there. Just me not liking him. And now he don't like me because I told him I didn't like him. So some of it we just got to let go, right? Just relinquish. So I got to forgive me, right? Forgive me for holding this against this guy, all right? But what we see here is this absolute of living life in a constant state of giving and forgiving. giving and forgiving. That's what makes communities alive and well and vibrant, is that we give and we forgive. Because in relationship, unless that person is God, there's the propensity, the possibility, the potential of them hurting you. Sometimes we have our expectations way too high on humanity. You know? Why are we offended when someone hurts us? Let me ask you, have you hurt someone? So let's not get too high an expectation of people. You know, we open ourselves up for greater hurt when we put people on such a pedestal that how dare they hurt me. Yeah, well, they humans. The Bible says that in the book of Proverbs, he says, when there's no oxen, there's no mess. But where there's a lot of oxen, there's a lot of poo-poo. There's a lot of poo-poo because people, oxen, have messes. So we just should expect. Nah, people who work with mess all the time, they don't go walking around. Oh my God. Oh, no, they walk in there and deal with it and no problem. I heard a plumber tell me one time. Plumber said, I was asking him, I lived in Los Angeles. I said, how you do this kind of work, man? And he was telling me about one of these places he went to, and he said it was just filthy, nasty. I said, how you do that, man? He said, man, I'll tell you what. He said, when I go in places like that, all I smell is money. In other words, it didn't hurt him that he was dealing with all kind of human mess and waste. He said, listen, at the end of the day, they're going to pay me. You know, we had this young guy who does work for us. We've got him to do some work for us. He hops out of his car like this. And I'm like, who is that? He's working on our furnace, right? Our furnace. And so he has to go up on our crawl space, and our crawl space is about this high, and it's just not a place I want to go. It's like one of those movies I've seen, you know, I don't know what the movie was, but there was, anytime you go into the room, it'd go, and I'm like, I ain't going up under there. I've been up under that place in almost 30 years of living in my home. I can count on my hands. I mean, I had to go up there a few times, but not a lot. I don't like going up under there. Ain't nothing about that place attractive to me. He hops out of the car like this. And so he goes in there and he does the work that he has to do. He ain't there long. He's always just a little piece that I got to replace. And so I'm thinking, little piece you got to replace, that sounds like $100 to me. That's all. That's $100. No, it was $500. And so he didn't get upset about having to go up there and get dirty and come out and all that stuff. That didn't mess with him not one little bit. Because he expected, yeah, this is what I do, but there's a reward for me going up under there. That I can, without blinking, say $500. Another little young guy came in one day. And so, again, he had to go up under the crawl space. I like, you going up under that crawl space. And he had to repair a valve that goes up under. Now, I figured given enough time, I probably could have done it, given enough time. But I was also concerned that I might hit the wrong valve and flood out the basement. So I said, let me get someone else to do it. Well, he was the same way. Well, Mr. Logan, they always have a nice, beautiful, smiling face. Hello, Mr. Logan. Oh, yeah, I can take care of that. He goes up under there. He ain't under there but about 15, 20 minutes. $200. I'm like, I'm in the wrong business. What is my point? My point is we're going to get into messes. But what we need to keep in mind is the blessing that comes by way of forgiving. that if we walk out forgiveness, we live in a state, a constant state of forgiving, the rewards of the kingdom, that we get the full benefit of the kingdom, because that's where we live. Why live there like a pauper? Why live there with not taking full advantage of everything there? Because I can't access it because my faith is damaged, because I'm walking in unforgiveness. Let's look at some more things here. Are y'all getting this? Let's look at another scripture here. Look at Matthew 6. Very familiar to you all, I'm certain. Matthew 6 and verse 6. It says, but, okay, let's start with verse 5. It says, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about getting reward here, right? Nothing wrong with rewards, is there? So we're getting reward. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, I don't know how this escaped us. I think religion just took that from us. Because religion says you gotta, well, I want to tell you today, Lord, that I've been to the mountain and I've been baptized. I've been on the other side. And he's like, why are you doing all that? And then that, see, I think I'm just talking about the people of the dark hue. But the light hue are like this. Lord, I am not worthy of thy blessings. Lord, I am just an old sinner saved by grace. If it be thy will, Lord, ain't none of it right. That's just a bunch of gobbledygook. It's not consistent with Scripture. Let's just take God and let's not put him inside of our own culture. Let's take it on what does the kingdom say. How do we talk in the kingdom? Let's not adopt man's ways and talk like we've seen man do through tradition over long periods of time and think that that moves God. It doesn't move God. It might move the audience. It might move some people who are given to those kinds of emotions. But I doggone declare that if someone comes to my house and asks me for something, and uses it in a hermeneutical, I don't need your services. In other words, we want people to just tell me, what's it going to cost? I don't need it. I don't need a sermon. I don't need anything else. Just tell me. Right? If we want straight talk, how much more would God want straight talk? If we value authenticity, how much more does God value authenticity? Right? Tearing up a few sacred cows this morning. All right, here we go. Where did I get to? Seven. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, Father, you're so big, so wonderful. I hallow your name. I reverence your name. I speak your name with great respect. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now we could say your kingdom has come, right? Because we're living in the kingdom now. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our debts as we forgive. That's what I wanted us to get to. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Again, that's a principle. It's a principle. Again, he's already forgiven us. He's not going to forgive us. It's already been done by the blood of Jesus Christ. But again, we're talking about what puts a wrangle in our heart to believe. And one of it is, in a big one, only three things he talks about, or the last one he talks about is forgive. If you go on down here, it says in the latter part of this, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now we have a new and better covenant, right? We've already said that. That does not apply to us. Well, it's in the Bible, but we already talked about, right? Old Testament, New Testament. This is New Testament. We're living in the New Testament. Through Jesus Christ, he's already what? Forgiven us of everything. But, what's the big but here? It will mess with your heart. If I don't forgive, it will mess with my heart. They had to forgive because they couldn't walk in faith and God couldn't. That was tit for tat. But there is none of that anymore. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's not the same in that regard, but that doesn't give us a license to not forgive. I want this to sink into your soul. Because sometimes we give ourselves a pass to keep on holding on to stuff like this, based on the degree of hurt. Like this degree of hurt gives me the right to just keep on holding on to unforgiveness. It's an absolute. This is an absolute. Walking in forgiveness will affect our hearts, will affect our hearts always. All right. Some of y'all still, by the time we end in 2 more hours, y'all going to get this. You're going to get, listen, I'm used to it now. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. All right, here we go. Let's look at another scripture here, and then we're gonna conclude it with this last one. Matthew 18:21. Look at Matthew 18:21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and forgive me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do say to you, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, this is just me thinking out loud. Some of us have only been hurt one time, not even seven times. And we've held on to it. Forget the seven times seven and the 70 and all of that stuff. One time! And we haven't talked to that person in years. And we use knowledge terminology like, I will never. I'll never, and those vows have affected our heart. Those vows have caused us from being able to see anyone who looks like the one who hurt us in the right way. Them folk. Not realizing what we're doing to our hearts and our ability to believe. Then it goes on, it says this. I do not say to you, verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times seven, but up to 70 times seven. Not that that's the number that you have to go towards. I'm going to the 490th one. No, it's not saying that. It's saying that to forgive is infinite. You just keep on forgiving. You keep on forgiving. Now let me say there, keep on forgiving doesn't mean keep on subjecting yourself to. It doesn't mean keep on subjecting yourself to. If you know the snake's going to bite you, don't go near the snake no more. And you got to ask the snake to forgive. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm just a snake. You know, you come over here and show me that piece of your leg, I'm going to bite it again. So just stay away from the snake so that you don't have to go for 490 of them. Yeah. But if you do go, be prepared to forgive, right? How many of you have somebody in your life, maybe a family member, that you know they always have the propensity to hurt? I'm like, this is just their, you know, they just do, you know? And we keep going expecting them to be different. That's called insanity. So either be prepared to forgive or stay away. I love what Dr. Willie Fleming said when he was sharing about psychology, and he was just sharing that in some cases, and I don't want to, well, he said it publicly, so I'll say it. He said that some places he goes, whether it's with family members or whatever, he makes cameo appearances. You know, like. Kiss the baby and go. Because you know somewhere in there, in that mix up, there's gonna be something to go flies off. Someone's gonna get hurt, someone's gonna say something, you just know it's gonna happen. It's sometimes within the family, this just gonna bring up stuff, you know? So don't stay beyond the point of getting ready to get hurt. When you know it, you feel it. Oh, it's about to go. I can feel it. She's about to go off. I know she's about to go off. Let me. I love you. You know it. I gotta go. Or do this. Always have somewhere else you gotta go to. Oh, like you know, if you gotta go to the grocery store, go to the grocery store after. So you can, you know, I got to get to the store. I got to get to, and you're not lying, right? You know, I got to get to the store. Oh, wow. I know that we're going to deal with all this today. But anyway. Verse 22 said, he said, if I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77, seven times seven, therefore the kingdom of heaven, the government of heaven, is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. In other words, I'm appealing to your power here. I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. In other words, the power is in the one who has the right to forgive. That's powerful. A lot of times we want to be powerful. We want to stick out our chest. We want to be all big and bad. Be big and bad enough to forgive. But it goes on, and I won't read the rest of it, because after he forgives up and forgives all of these people, sometimes the people forget that they were forgiven. Yeah. They forget that they were forgiven, and then they go around and exacting a charge on everybody who has hurt them, not realizing you got a $100,000 debt wiped out, and you are fussing over $10 that somebody owes you. You better give me my money. And you know how we do it in some houses. That better give me my money. he better give me my money. And we go to our grave many times with someone owing us something, and not realizing that a part of our heart is now corroded and hardened and unable to receive. Last thing I want to share with you today. Last thing here, so that we can pull it over to the New Testament. Go with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. I want to read this to you, because I think it bears out what we just shared. It says, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. For by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure. Everybody say assure. Sure. I would like to say there, put confidence in our heart. Assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we have what? Confidence towards God. Because we keep his commandments. And what is his commandment back in the Old Testament? What was he saying? Forgive, 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 so that I can make sure that my heart remains confident toward him. I got to have a confident heart. You all have to have a confident heart. The key, again, to having a confident heart, to walking in faith, it opens up the door every single time. No secret to it, no secret whatsoever. And what the enemy is seeking to do is to get us off by way of unforgiveness. So we think we're doing something to them. Like, I'm going to hold it against them. I ain't going to speak to them. I don't care who they are. Matter of fact, I'm going to give them that look. And ladies, I'm going to tell y'all got that better than us men. We men, we don't have it, but y'all know how to do that thing. Like, y'all know how to give that look. And we men, we just catching up. Like, what did that mean? Listen here, if you don't remember anything today, and I love this key. I'd love for someone to just feel that. What? Feel that. That's substantive, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's substantive. It ain't no light piece of nothing. It's heavy. And this is our key, people. This is the key. The key, always, you can always go back to it. What's causing my heart to not be assured? What's causing me not to walk in sync and my believer to work as a believer? What's causing it not to work as confident? It's probably somewhere where we're holding something against someone. I know we had a good time this morning laughing about certain things, but the subject matter itself is very heavy. It's a heavy subject matter. There's no offense that is worth keeping it for a day, let alone a year, let alone 10 years, let alone 20 years, let alone a lifetime. This morning, I want us to do something a little different. And this is not, it's not a time to, you know, when the Spirit of God is speaking to you, it's far better to act then than to act later. Because as we walk away from that revelation that we receive, it gets a little blurry, like, and the intensity of it is lost. And so this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I want it between you and God. There's no virtue necessarily unless God leads me for you to come forward. But I do want you to come forward towards Christ in this. I want you to step forward as you are considering, is there someone in my life that the Holy Spirit is showing me that I've just held some stuff, man? And unknowingly, it's affecting my heart. And so you may say, well, I mean, sometimes what we call a blessing is just our human effort. It's our human toil. We're successful because we've done all of this hard work, but not necessarily because we've received from God. But there's a place in God where you get to where even your human efforts don't work. It don't work. It does not work. And the key you need so that God is able to move, so that you're able to believe God to move, is forgiveness. So I would ask this morning that if there's something or someone in your life that you've not used the key of forgiveness, that weighty part. And I'm not asking you to go guessing, and I don't want you to do that. If there's nobody, there's nobody. Thank God. But if there is someone, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, release them. Stop taking them home with you. Stop taking them to work with you. Stop causing there to be divisions in the most holy place of our families because of an offense. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time this morning, and you have, by your Spirit, I believe, shared something so acute, so on point, so penetrating to our hearts. And you've given us your word so that our hearts towards you would remain confident or become confident, assured. And Father, there's so many ways in which we could have been hurt and offended by the acts of others. So we're not saying that it doesn't exist. We know it exists. Matter of fact, we know it because we've been the perpetrators as well. We've been the ones who've preyed on people. We've offended. So we know even on that we've been that, and it has also happened to us. I ask, Father, this morning by your grace being most sufficient right now, that those who have harbored any unforgiveness would release it so that their confidence in you would be restored. So as we're sitting here this morning, just have that private conversation with the Lord and relinquish it. Relinquish it this day by the Spirit of grace, by the Spirit of power. Just take a few minutes, a few moments here, seconds. Holy Spirit, show us anyone that we've continued to allow that thing to mess with us.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.